Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
About that, Hugh Douglas. The crowd here at Klondike Kates in Newark, Delaware, bringing us back with an Eagles chant.
That's awesome.
Oh, I get more pumped up. We got a game tomorrow night.
Yay.
Are you ready?
Not ready. Not ready yet.
You're not ready?
No.
You think the Eagles are ready?
Yes, they are.
Well, they better be. Welcome back. Midday show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. A pumped up crowd at Klondike Kates. Hugh holding his emotion back for tomorrow.
Yeah, man, you can't get all excited the day before
the
game.
Yes,
you can. You can't play the game before the game is actually being played.
Hugh, you're not playing anything anymore.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not.
You're washed.
I'm right. I'm washed. With a
fly, Eagles, fly.
Hey, I appreciate you keeping it in perspective for me.
Well, we have to.
Every time I get out of line, you put me right back here, and I appreciate
that. That's why we're here. They said, we're making Hugh the new midday guy. We need you to all to keep him in line. Kyle and Joe, can you do it? We said, yeah, we can. Today's show is sponsored by Klondike Kate Sleigh Bar. Come and check out the pop-up Christmas sleigh bar at Klondike Kate's from now through December. It is awesome here in Newark, Delaware. Come on out.
Get a nut job. It's a drink.
I'm glad you clarified.
It's a drink.
I know it's on the menu.
It's a drink. I tweeted out the picture, so it's $9.
That's a good deal for a drink.
Yeah.
What's in it?
It's a screwball Tia Maria coffee liqueur with whipped cream. Nut job, $9.
It sounds like a great deal. Hugh, you should go in advertising. You want to be a PR guy?
No, because the way you say it, you got to, like, I do know in PR,
yeah.
You got to say it the words that grabs people's attention right out the gate. Nothing grabs attention like nut job right out the gate.
Cut the audio, Kyle.
Nothing grabs attention like that. $9.
I agree.
I got to cut in here with some news.
Okay.
94 WIP. Breaking news.
Might not be long for this.
Hugh Douglas
suspended.
To the principal's office.
Yeah, Hugh's in trouble. All right, Kyle.
There's a minor thing. Well, I guess not minor, but Marshon Lattimore has been ruled out tomorrow.
Not surprised. He didn't play last week either. I mean, I think they traded for him with the knowledge he wasn't fully healthy.
He wasn't ready to go.
But that's good for the Eagles. Okay, yep. So we got no Lattimore tomorrow.
No Lattimore. And Paul George and Embiid out tonight.
Oh, what a shock. As the Sixers. Well, as everyone's shocked here at Klondike Kate.
Who didn't know that was coming? Who didn't know that was coming?
Well, maybe Embiid was just trolling you. Maybe he was going to play the whole
time. That's the thing right there that kind of, like, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, when we looked at the line in the game about a half hour ago, it was 9.5-point favorite, the Cavaliers. I had a feeling at least one wasn't going to play. But now we know both are not going to play. So, no Embiid, no Paul George tonight. All right, 215-592-949. Back to your phone calls on Combo Con and, of course, Jalen Hurts and Joel Embiid in a few minutes. But, Hugh, you know what we have?
What we got?
We have our first real, like, juicy Phillies rumor of the offseason.
We got juicy rumors?
Yeah, we do have juicy rumors. So, we did talk a little bit yesterday how Alec Boehm, according to Jeff Paston, is officially on the trade block.
Yeah,
right?
they're shopping.
Yeah, they're shopping Alec Boehm. I'm not surprised. But naturally, Hugh, when you say that, someone's going to respond with, okay, who's playing third base then, right? If you're getting rid of Alec Boehm, who's going to be the third baseman next year? Because for as much as I'm not the biggest Boehm fan, he is productive. He is a good hitter, right?
Yeah.
He hit, you know, fourth or fifth for basically the entire season. So if he's not here, all right, well, you better find someone good to replace him. Well, according to Buster Only, they could be finding someone good to replace him. This is a tweet from Buster last night of ESPN. Quote, the most interesting prediction heard from a rival evaluator. The Phillies land Alex Bregman. His swing translates in that park. Strong defense. Lots of postseason scar tissue. Hugh, my first thought is I love this. Alex Bregman is a really, really good player. He's two-time World Series champion. He's a good hitter. He's never struck out 100 times in a season. I could hit him second in the order and drop Trey down. He hits for more power than Boehm. He's just like, he's a better Alec. He's better than Alec Boehm. I mean, I would try to do this in a heartbeat and then use Boehm maybe to go get something else. Hugh, what's your initial reaction to this one? Because now it's connecting them to the best third baseman available.
You know, he gave you 26 homers last year. I like that. Yep. You know, hit 260. He fits the mold as far as how old he is.
Like 31,
the
30, yeah.
30, well, he'd be 31 during the course of the season.
I think opening day he turns 31.
Yeah, yeah. So I like this. I like this. And then you're talking about somebody who you put him in the middle of the order like he is. You're not worried about the whole order going as cold as they did this postseason.
So not only does he hit for he hits for more power than Boehm. He's a good average hitter. He walks a good amount. He's never struck out 100 times. Also, he's been really good in the playoffs in his career.
He has,
I think, 19 career postseason homers. He's won the two World Series with the Astros.
Yeah, you got a couple more guys on that squad that have won World Series. So
yeah,
that's cool.
Right. I just lost my faith in Boehm. I just feel like he's well,
here's the thing, Joe, and this is how I looked at
it.
You know, even though at the end of the season, you know, you ran it back. You went as far as you did the other year. You know, got beat by Arizona. So then you ran it back. You can't stay the same and expect different results.
Yep.
You know, and I think that's the thing that resonated with everybody. You know, they played better. They had a better regular season. But in the postseason, it was much ado the same thing. So you can't be the same team and thinking that you're going to have different results.
And I'm getting to the point where now I just don't believe Boehm's built for October. His numbers have been bad in the postseason in his career here. And it doesn't always feel with Alec Boehm like he's about to just cry when things go bad. Like, I just don't feel he has the –
He had an emotional time, no question.
Yeah, well, he got benched. Listen to this. A.J. Pierzynski, who covered the Phillies-Mets series for Fox, he does the Foul Territory podcast. Listen to him yesterday. This is a former big leaguer, right? This isn't just like some guy. Former big leaguer who was covering the series, was around the team. Listen to A.J. on Boehm and kind of why maybe they're sour on him a little bit.
Here's the biggest thing I'll say with Alec Boehm after being around the Phillies for about a week in the playoffs and then seeing he needs to improve things, not his performance. Let's just say that. There's some people around that organization that aren't huge fans of the way he acts sometimes. And I'm just going to leave it at that, but there are some people that have said he needs to basically grow up a little bit. There are some things that he's done that people that, you know, he got benched in the playoffs, basically. If you remember, it, Game 3, he got benched for Sosa.
You think that had to do with something else or just underperformance? Or not going to say?
It had to do with both.
Got it.
From people, and this didn't come from, you know, this came from people around the Phillies.
Yep.
I'm not saying Dave Dombrowski or Sam Fuld or Rob Thomas, none of those people, but it came from people that are around and have a lot of knowledge about the Phillies that he needs to take the next step as a maturing adult. Well, and I think that people, if you watch the Phillies games all the time, and Kratz, you watch them all the time, you know what I'm talking about.
Hugh, that's a red flag. And Boehm, you know, we talk about him like he's still a young player. Hugh, Boehm's going to turn 29 next season, right? Mm-hmm. He's not 23 or 24 where you kind of say, all right, let's give him a little runway to kind of grow into this. This is who he is. And it just feels like when you're getting benched in the playoffs for being overly emotional, that signals to me that, like, this isn't the first time they've thought about this or noticed this. And it got to a breaking point.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It got to the point this year where they was like, listen, we can't really deal with this. And that is the problem that they have. And it's unfortunate because there's a young man, you were talking about, they called it the daycare. Looked like he was going to be a big part of this.
Yep.
Was it last year, the year before that, where they went into a little bit of a hitting slump early in the season? No, it was the year after. It was not last year, but the year before that, where they went into a little bit of a hitting slump. And it was Marsh and Boehm that kind of carried the team throughout that. And to have him just kind of get stagnant the way that he did last year, yeah, it's time to change some things. And you're not going to change the core guys. Trey Turner's going to be here whether or not you like it or not. Bryce Harper's going to be here. Schwarber's going to be here, probably going to be the leadoff hitter.
Wheeler and Nola.
Yeah, all those guys, they're going to be here. So when you talk about changing this thing around, it was obvious that was probably going to be one of the young guys.
Yeah, and I think you can get something for Boehm back. Maybe you get a relief pitcher and put him in the bullpen, and I would sign Bregman. Also, one more last thing on Bregman that I think is important. He's top 20 in chase rate, Hugh. He doesn't swing at bad pitches. Like, he's what they need. They need more of that. I'm all in on this idea to sign Bregman, and I would trade Alec Boehm. 215-592-9494. You can react to that. The audio there from Brzezinski. Obviously, all the Embiid stuff from last night. And Jalen Hurts, have we underrated the season he actually is having here? Andy's in Queen Village. Hey, Andy.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Andy. What are you thinking?
I'm a little on the older side, so I've seen a lot of things go up and down. I just think people in Philadelphia should stop a little on the hyperventilating. There's a big difference between the player and the person. I agree that sometimes the person has to show what he's got inside to be able to be a great player. But we've had a lot of players over this year that were over in Philadelphia history that were great players that people didn't like. Mike Schmidt was the guy people didn't like. Charles Barkley got caught spitting on a girl in the stands. People didn't like him for that. So you don't like Joel. I get that. What happens if in the next 10 games, the Sixers go 8-2, Joel plays 7 of them, and he puts up 30 and 15 every game? Then all of a sudden, the whole conversation changes. People are going to forget what you were talking about before, and we're going to start all over again. So I just don't think people should get so hot and so cold on these things.
I'm raising my hand because I'm trying to understand what is the purpose of this phone call. I mean, you're trying to make it sound like I am not allowed to be confused by the way Joel Embiid handled what was said to him last night and what was said last week. I didn't say anything about his basketball acumen. I didn't say anything about that. It's just that if you're gonna be up in arms about what somebody says about you that you deem personal, and then come back and say, you know, you're trolling people, that's not the same energy. So exactly, I guess I'm asking, what are you trying to defend right now?
Well, I hear what you're saying, Hugh, and I understand there's some confusion of that. What I'm saying is it's a long season and a lot of things that happen. Sometimes Joel, he was out of control last night when he commented on what comment. That happens. What I'd like to see is that rather than people, and I've heard some guys call up to say, oh, that guy's done, I'll never cheer for him, I can't stand the guy, blah, blah, he's a loser, blah, blah, blah. Well, maybe. But 10 games from now, if the Sixers win eight of those 10, he's putting up 30 and 15, that same guy's going to call back and say, it was wrong about
maybe.
Joel. He maybe does some strange
things. I have a question, though, Andy, because you brought up a lot of and good points. Like, Mike Schmidt didn't have the greatest relationship with the town. Obviously, Barkley, all that stuff. But you said it's 10 games of this season. It's also 10 years of evidence. I just have this question for you, Andy, because you obviously—
And he's not getting any younger.
Yeah, you've seen a lot in this town. So I want your thoughts. Yeah. Do you think Joel Embiid takes the pursuit of a championship very seriously? Because I don't.
Well, I appreciate that we all have different opinions. Yes, I do. And I think when he lost it emotionally was a couple years back when they didn't get there, I think that was evidence of it. Yeah, I think Joel's a Philadelphia guy, and I think he's doing his very best. I do. It's not easy being 7-2 in his situation and having the spotlight on you all the time. But do I think he wants to win? Yes. Does he want to win as much as Iverson did? Maybe not.
Well,
but
see, that's
mean
it.
He can't go out there and win.
I think they all want to win. Like, they go to the court, they want to win. But there are certain, like, Kobe Bryant took it so seriously that he made it his life. And I think the best players do that. Steph Curry does it. Michael Jordan did it. LeBron James, although he's kind of good.
Tyrese Maxey does it.
I think Tyrese Maxey has more of that than Joel does. Andy, I'm with you. And that's my frustration, that it's like I don't think he takes the whole thing seriously enough. Is he a great player? Of course he is.
I think the messaging is confusing.
Of course it is.
I mean, it's just, and that's to me is the biggest gripe that I have, because I look at it like this. Now, I don't know what it's like to be 7-2, but I know what it's like to bust my ass and work hard to accomplish something, and also know what it's like to be in a situation where I could control the narrative. And what I mean by that is this. If I know I haven't practiced in months, I'm going to make it my business to go out there in the first time that I'm out there on the court and at least look like I've been doing something. Now, again, like you said, I don't know what it's like to be 7-2, and I don't know what Joel Embiid's regimen looks like on a day-to-day basis. But for a guy to be ramping up to play the season and that to be his first showing, he didn't give a lot of people a whole lot to like be happy about.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you at all. What I'd like to do, though, is hopefully I'll call you back in 20 games, and you're going to say, you know, Andy, I remember that. We had that whole conversation.
And that'd be great. That means he's playing well.
If that's the case, then I'll say, hey, I was wrong. But at the end of the day, Andy, you only get one chance to make a first impression.
Well, that's true. Andy, good phone call. Give us a weird food combination.
I got the winner for you, and okay. I want everybody in the listening audience and you guys when you go home for lunch today to do this. Mm-hmm. Toast two slices of bread, your favorite bread, cook up some bacon, and put some peanut butter on that.
No,
toast.
Andy, no.
I'm telling you, if you try it,
Andy, I like your
comment. Oh, my God, Andy was right. I guarantee it.
I appreciate.
And it's guaranteeing it, Hugh.
No, I appreciate.
I'm guaranteeing you. I've seen this before. People.
No.
Good call, Andy.
Andy, I appreciate the fact that we could have this conversation and handle each other like grown men and agree to disagree. But no.
Yeah.
So, well, hold
no.
on. So
no, I, yeah. He talking actually, about the salty and sweet. No.
Yeah. So I actually don't.
No, I don't even want to hear. Why
beyond salty and sweet.
You are blaspheming.
No, we're not.
No, bacon.
Not. I don't think this is going to win because I don't think this is a weird combination. This is mm-hmm. a delicious combination.
This is the combination that you eat when you're pregnant.
No.
No. Actually,
this is a combination.
No, it's
I've been around someone pregnant
the women
twice. She didn't
that having with the child, but that's not. That's nothing. Not, nothing
no, this is so common I'm, in places no. like Thailand, and yeah, they do peanut butter.
I'm not in Thailand. I'm in America.
No, but
peanut butter and bacon is a good combination.
That was outrageous.
I had to. I had to.
No, but like, you know, a lot of the foods that we eat here in America come from other cultures. You understand that, right?
No. So,
Kyle, I'm not sure he does.
Bacon, he doesn't. Yeah. Bacon and peanut butter? Stop
yes.
it.
Try it. It's delicious.
Stop. No, I'm not trying it.
No, like peanut butter is very versatile, Hugh.
It's one of the most versatile.
No, peanut butter is versatile, yes. but mm-hmm. it's not versatile with bacon.
I don't think it's that weird of a combo, though, by Andy.
But you know what, though, real talk? The more I say it, I'm kind of warming up to it a little
you
bit.
You should.
Yeah. So, well, so
what's the sandwich called? The Elvis?
Yeah, I think there might have banana on
banana
or something,
is
too.
Part of
first
I'm
out first on. Of all, yeah. anything that Elvis ate, no disrespect to the king, but did you see him on his way to go to the upper room?
You think that was because of a peanut butter?
Hell yeah.
No,
well,
I think
Elvis,
there might have been some other things in that system, man.
Elvis was rotund.
I know.
He was rotund.
He had a lot of other issues besides a peanut butter sandwich.
I want to make the case for that being in consideration. We ask for weird food combos, not bad ones.
But you know,
you're right. But I would think weird, like I've never really heard of it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Okay.
The more I say it, though,
Hugh's going to try.
I would not be opposed to that.
No, you jumped the gun, Hugh.
I did.
You got on Andy.
I did. Andy,
you yelled at him for the wrong thing.
I think you're protective of bacon.
Yes, I am.
And we get that.
I just, you know how I feel about bacon, man.
Yeah, that's okay.
But I mean, the more I think about it, you get a nice little peanut butter. Well, I mean,
also, you're afraid of new things. We know that too.
Maybe put some jelly on there too.
Yeah, I think
fine. Okay.
All right, Hugh.
I'm sorry, Andy.
Helped Hugh grow today.
Yeah, it's amazing. That'll be the title of this episode of the podcast. Andy helps Hugh grow. Black Gritty's up on WIP. What's up, Black Gritty?
Now my growth about to be stunning.
Yep.
You stunt your growth, lad. Stunt your growth. You might want to check your screener. This guy's out here bullying people with this tape.
Kyle? See, we leave for a day, and he thinks he could badger the witnesses. That's what happened.
That's what he said. I'm just saying he's muddy in the waters. So when you have Saquon Barkley, he's amazing. But if you don't have a quarterback, they just put 22 dudes in the box, and then they make you throw. And then
exactly.
they'll put you on the way to the quarterback. So it's hand-in-hand, it's tandem. But, I mean, MVP, that's the case. Henry's the MVP right now anyway. It's not Saquon. So he's got more touchdowns because, you know, the touch foot is stealing from him. But, I mean, that's why it's a team sport. It's a great debate to have. But if you don't have a quarterback in this league, you don't have anything. It all starts there. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's annoying to me, too, because I wish that somebody else could run for 2,000 yards, you're not going to get it. As far as Joel Embiid is concerned, like the whole Sixers organization, Joe, you know, I've been calling and complaining for a long time. I'm about to really stop caring. Like I love Maxey, McCain showing something. What's the point of even watching this team? If the star doesn't care and he's always hurt, and what am I caring about? Why am I watching the sport? What are they putting out there? And then they want to go and build some monstrous stadium somewhere. Who's going to go watch it? You going to go sit in traffic? Down the center city to go watch this in 5 years, 10 years, we probably won't be good for another 10 years. It just, you put all these guys on paper. Paul George, why aren't you playing basketball, bro? Why aren't you playing basketball now? It's just a bad product out there on the court night in and night out. And they're giving emotional damage in your heart, okay? And they might as well, Alec Bohm, can we retire to daycare? I need these dudes to grow up. We need to get rid of this crybaby. And extinguish the daycare. No more daycare. I need adults. I need at least toddlers or something. You know what I mean? Can I send them off to first grade? Because him crying every game was embarrassing anyway. We all know his attitude was bad, right?
Of course it was. He got benched in a playoff game because he's crying and on the dugout. It's crazy.
And again, we're hard in this city, but bro, you're getting paid millions of dollars to play the sport that you love. If you can't find something in that to get yourself out of it, then hold it till you get home. Cry when you get home. Oh, yeah. I'm not averse to crying. Men cry. Real men cry. You. I cry sometimes, but I don't do it out in the middle of my job. Okay. So get rid of them. Move on.
Ain't
move
nothing
out.
Wrong with crying, man.
Ain't nothing. Wrong with crying,
but I don't need
man.
My third baseman crying in the sixth inning of the game.
No, not, okay, not in the throes of a playoff.
I mean,
game.
Come on, like we gotta get it together.
And Hugh, one last yes. thing. I'm not going to give you no food because I ain't got nothing crazy because we black. We don't do that. But you, if they want you to expand your palate, Hugh, go ahead and try it. I mean, sometimes they be coming up with some stuff. Put some bacon on it.
Peanut,
right.
I'm not going to lie. The peanut butter and the bacon, because I mean, I
think I
like
we
bacon.
Sold you on
and
this.
Then if I put enough bacon on it, I might not even taste the peanut
no,
butter.
No, but peanut butter is a strong taste, though.
And I'll tell you something about Hugh Douglas. You can't eat anything with bacon on it. Just
nah, yeah, so,
yeah, we found that out.
I put some bacon on that thing.
All right, there he goes, Black Gritty.
Put some bacon on that thing. It's a party.
I haven't seen a 180 like this in a long time.
No, because
you were ripping Andy, and now you're like, actually, I'm going to do this.
I was being closed-minded, but then the more I kept saying, I was like, bacon and peanut butter. Bacon and peanut butter.
I like this open-minded version of
you. I was thinking.
Where is this during the defensive debate for the past 2 years?
With a light crusting of peanut butter. It ain't got to be a heavy crusting. It could be a light. We start off mild with the light crusting.
Yeah.
And then throw about 8, 10, 12 pieces of bacon on that thing. Yay. We can do that. We can do that all day.
12 pieces on a sandwich?
8, 10, 12. Man, listen. Who was it? The other day. You know when I used to get the big old packets of bacon?
Oh, from Hatfield.
From Hatfield.
You know when they bring it in? Yeah.
Yeah. It is nothing. For me, I don't even – you know how when most people, most normal people, most red-blooded Americans, they take the bacon off as a slice of one piece at a time? I got a big-ass pot.
You just put the whole thing in?
And I just put the whole thing in and put the lid on the pot and just let it do what it do. Then I just pick the pieces out, and then I just eat the bacon.
Yeah, it feels to me like there's an untapped market for a Hugh Douglas cooking show on YouTube. Just put the whole
you mean
thing
– caveman cooking with Hugh
it's
Douglas.
It's
going to
be the same
that.
Five meals.
No, it's not. I've diversified my palate.
Sure.
Like the other day. I had some honey nut Cheerios. It was awesome.
Wow, dude, you're that's
Did you just
so
say you
adventurous.
You diversified your palate
yes,
with honey nut
Cheerios.
Cheerios.
I had
How
some
old
honey
are
nut
you? Seven?
Hey, no, listen, honey nut Cheerios for grown
What's
folks.
What's tomorrow? Dino Nuggets?
No,
honey nut
I got,
Cheerios for
no,
grown folks.
No, but you know what's funny?
What, you
no,
put whiskey in there instead
not
of
the
milk.
Dino, not the Dino Nugs, but I got the smiley face French fries.
All right, that's enough. 215 five.
They're pretty. Hey, don't sleep on them smiley face French fries now.
They are good.
Hey, you eat your kids' fresh fries.
They're good
fries.
Sorry, 215-592-9494. All right, coming up on the aside, we'll get to as many calls as we can. ComboCon, your chance at an incredible prize, courtesy of Jack Daniels at Gerhardt's Appliances, the ultimate tailgate giveaway. Looking for weird food combos. Your calls on Embiid, Bohm, and for underrating the season, Jalen Hurts has had. Plus, we come back, some cool mic'd up moments from the Eagles' win against the Cowboys this weekend. Finally, someone on this team gets it. That's next. Midday Show, live from Klondike Kate's on Sports Radio 94. WIP. And if you're in need of a midweek boost, FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sports, because you cover with the Hump Day Parlays reward stack. Now every Wednesday you can get a parlay profit boost on everything from spreads to overruns or even player props. So don't let the weekend have all the fun. Take advantage of the Hump Day Parlays reward stack. Who knows, it might just become your favorite day. Look for the Hump Days Parlays reward stack in the FanDuel app to find your profit boost. New to FanDuel? Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
right? We got really good players. We got a really good front office and GM, right? And with great talent, and with great coaches, and with great physicality, and with great detail, you can win a lot of games. You can win 10, 11, 12 games. But you can't do shit special unless we continue to come together as a football team. I ain't into winning 10, 11, 12 games. We've been done that here. We've done that there. I want to do special shit. And you can't do special shit alone.
Can't do it alone, Joe.
Sirianni trying to win me back, trying to win me over here. And that's, I like that. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, JoJo, live today. Klondike Kate's Restaurant, Saloon Joy, Bud Light, and Michelob Ultra Specials all football season at Klondike Kate's.
Can I just take the moment just to be a little nitpicky? I mean, that was a great speech, though. It was great. But it did feel like he's playing to the camera just a little bit. Just a little bit. Because he threw the great organization, great coaches.
We've done that around here before.
Yeah, we've done that around before. And I just want to give a shout-out to, like, this normally never happens, but Joe the camera. Because the way he started that line of questioning
this morning.
With Coach, when he's like, man, you've been getting killed nationally and locally.
I laughed.
It was like, damn, Joe, right out the gate.
Well, it was. I like the question because, like, does it mean extra to him? And Sirianni,
yes, it should.
But Sirianni downplayed it. Maybe he just did that because he was on the air. But he could have said yeah, but he basically said, no, we're just focused on blah, blah, blah. He downplayed that.
But if there was ever a moment where he could have said, yeah, I felt some kind of way and, you know, forget all of y'all, that would have been the moment.
Can I offer this, though? And Sirianni did not act like he had arrived or anything this morning or the team had. He kind of kept his head down the way he answered the question. For the Eagles, and especially Sirianni, I would say, can we just maybe wait for the victory lap? They were 10-1 last year, right? 7-2. I'm just like, if you're going to.
Now, that's truly being. We are truly being.
No, and
right,
he's not doing it. I'm like, but you said he could have. We said.
No, he could have.
And he could. If they win tomorrow night, he could be like, I told you so. We're good.
Yeah, but the race isn't run. The race isn't won yet.
I would just suggest.
That was not fair. I slowed it down. I did it right.
Like, don't be an I told you so, Douglas, until you delivered something.
Yeah,
special.
You got to deliver. You got to show us the baby. We don't want to hear about the labor pain. Show us the baby.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so we had the Sirianni mic'd up there. And you know what? Maybe he's playing to the cameras a lot, but isn't this every organization? There's cameras every yes. coach's post game locker room speech
is recorded.
Yeah. Like, That used to be a thing that felt like it was just between you and the coach.
Yeah.
And now it's for everyone. So I think half of them are performative anyway.
You know what's funny? You remember when, who was it, Juju Smith-Schuster, when they were in AB?
Oh, when they were
got
like
in trouble in Pittsburgh.
Live streaming.
Yeah, and they got in trouble for the same thing. Now we do it all the time.
No, they sent a person with a camera.
Yeah, they sent somebody there to show it to the people.
That is funny. Well, it's amazing how quickly it's changed here. Well, we love the behind-the-scenes stuff, including this. All right, we got to rate this, because we know CJ GJ fancies himself an artist.
Like, he's a rapper.
He's a rapper. Well, what do we think of this?
He got a song out.
He's got another one. Listen to this one. From the Sideline Sunday, CJ GJ singing about Cooper DeJean, to Cooper DeJean. Here it was.
Cooper DeJean is cornerback one, yeah. He locked down your number one option.
What are we talking about?
Cooper DeJean, punt return. Cooper DeJean almost crypt the punt return. Cooper DeJean be locking down your slot. You throw it his way, no go.
That's terrible. That is terrible. But I like, you know what? I like that CJ GJ puts it out there like that. He doesn't care what anybody else thinks. But yeah, that was, I guess it was in the vein of Billie Jean, Cooper DeJean,
yeah,
Billie Jean.
Yeah.
Nah. Did you see the picture that him and Quinyon Mitchell put out? I put
it
on
with
my
starter jacket?
Yes. That looked like the absolute hardest album cover. I don't know what kind of music they're singing. I don't know their genre.
Yeah.
But that does look like an album cover.
Do you know what I can't not think of?
Oh,
you posted it today. When I look at when Quinyon and Cooper, like when they do things like this or they're next to each other in the field, I can't not think of White Men Can't Jump.
Or Miami Vice.
Yeah, it's like, well, I think of Snipes and Woody Harrelson.
Or Ebony and Ivory.
Yeah, it's like they're this duo that you don't put together, but they're really good together.
Yeah, I mean, most people do, because like it was somebody said something about, you know, Ebony and Ivory, so they, you know, because I asked, you know, what would, if this was an album cover, what would the name be, and what would some of the songs' names be?
Yeah.
One of the best ones I heard as far as songs are concerned was like Clamps.
Like they're clamping people down.
I thought that was pretty. I thought that would go hard. I forgot some of the names. I saw some of the names, but I mean, it is. It looks like the future when you look at those two guys. Mm-hmm. It looks like two guys that are young that haven't figured it out yet. But they're figuring it out.
If this isn't figuring it out yet, how good could they be? Because they're really good now.
It's one of those things. It's like, say, you know, you've been out there and, you know, you're young and you've been thrown a couple fights and you fared a lot better than people anticipated you to fare. And now you're getting into the part of the season where the teams are going to get better, where you want to see how you weather the storm. Because it's one thing to be good when there's no adversity.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So then you might have a little bit of adversity, then you bounce back from that. But how what happens if you really get tested? How are you going to respond to that?
Well, this is the best young combo we've seen around here since Lito and Sheldon. I mean,
there's no doubt.
We've got something now that's going to be here for a long time. All right, one more here, and then back to your phone calls. 215-592-9494. This one is going to get you fired up. Landon Dickerson with kind of the team around him. I couldn't tell if it was the whole team or the offense from the video, but this is from the Eagles. I think it's what's it called Unscripted. I think it's, yeah, is the name of their web series they put out there. It's on YouTube each week. You know, taking you inside the week and the game. We see a lot of Sirianni stuff in there. But here's Dickerson on the field getting his team pumped up before they beat the Cowboys.
We gonna punch him in the face today and show these motherfuckers what we talking about. Yeah. We here to whoop the out of them. That's four more. 60 minutes of making a motherfucker quit and making him say, "Damn, I gotta play him again." Let's go. The Cowboys on three. One, two, three. Cowboys.
I didn't know Landon had that in him.
So potty mouth.
Wow.
If I had a pair of pearls on, I'd be clutching them right about now.
Did you know Landon had that side of his personality?
No,
he seems pretty laid back.
No. I mean, it's great to see. I mean, it's great to hear, I should say. I'm out of breath listening to all that cussing and carrying on the way that he did.
It was a lot.
Does he give us an "Oh My Heavens"? Like,
yeah, you know, hey God.
"Oh My Heavens" is up next.
Oh
yeah.
My stars and goddess.
Damn.
No, I tell you what though, it got me charged though, because I remember being in some huddles where it was some colorful language being thrown around.
Who was the colorful language guy?
I could think of some. Where Trot would say some stuff, man. And it was just, you know, you always talked about punching somebody in the face. Somebody was always getting punched in the face. It was some stuff that I see people say. I cannot repeat some of the stuff that was being said.
Well, please don't. We don't want to get.
Yeah, but it's very, very similar to what Landon was saying. It's just great to hear, man. It's so much stuff that goes on during the course of a game and before the game that, you know, you just can't share. Like, you can't understand it unless you've been in it.
Mm.
And to hear that, it's like, yeah, that brings back some memories.
You know what it does feel, and I didn't know when this was going to happen. It feels like this team, moving on from Jason and Fletcher, this new group has found its voice.
Yeah.
It feels like these young guys, they have found their voice. As the team is fully now, in my mind, kind of turned over from the old guard.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It used to be Jason in those huddles. It used to be Fletcher in those huddles. And now we're hearing guys like Landon
Dickerson. And there's been a little bit. Like, this is the thing. And you talk about not being able to see everything. And sometimes you do and sometimes you miss some things. There's been growth as far as some of the older guys in the older regime. I think that, you know, it's funny. We haven't really said a whole lot about Big Play Slay in the last couple of weeks. And the things that I have heard about
him. I'm okay with that.
Well, it's always okay when you don't hear a corner's name being called. But I hear his name being mentioned in the light of mentor more so now than I have in the past. Or maybe it's one of those things where I'm starting to hear it or pay attention to it more. He's being more of a mentor. And you always hear those young guys talk about how Slay is mentoring them and helping them out tremendously. And he hasn't played bad either, man. Hasn't played bad.
He's been in and out, but he hasn't played bad.
Hasn't really said anything polarizing on social media lately.
Well, give him a...
I mean, but no, I'm just saying. I just want to give
lately.
Him his props, man.
Yeah, I mean, lately. He also did a podcast with Parsons a month ago.
But no, I'm just saying. I give my man his props. Because, you know, it's a lot... You know, because a lot of times, you know, you hear about all the negatives that goes on. And for him to be... Like, to hear guys talk about him in the way that they talk about him, I just want to give him his props right there.
You know, we should start like a this many days since Slay said something to piss us off.
Right, we got really good players. We got a really good front office and GM, right? And with great talent, and with great coaches, and with great physicality and with great detail, you can win a lot of games. You can win 10, 11, 12 games. But you can't do shit special unless we continue to come together as a football team. I ain't into winning 10, 11, 12 games. We've done that here. We've done that there. I want to do special shit. And you can't do special shit alone.
Can't do it alone, Joe.
Sirianni trying to win me back, trying to win me over here, and that's, I like that. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, JoJo, live today, Klondike Kate's Restaurant, Saloon, enjoy Bud Light and Michelob Ultra Specials all football season at Klondike Kate's.
Can I just take the moment just to be a little nitpicky? I mean, that was a great speech, though. It was great. But it did feel like he playing to the camera just a little bit, just a little bit, because he threw the great organization. Great coaches.
We've done that around here before.
Yeah, we've done that around before. And I just want to give a shout-out to, like, this normally never happens, but Joe DeCamera. Because the way he started that line of questioning
this morning.
With Coach, when he's like, man, you've been getting killed nationally and locally.
I laughed.
It was like, damn, Joe, right out the gate.
Well, it was. I like the question because, like, does it mean extra to him? And Sirianni,
yes, it should.
But Sirianni downplayed it. Maybe he just did that because he was on the air, but – He could have said yeah, but he basically said no. We're just focused on blah blah blah. He downplayed that.
But if there was ever a moment where he could have said yeah, I felt some kind of way and you know forget all of y'all, that would have been the moment.
Can I offer this though? And Sirianni did not act like he had arrived or anything this morning. Or the team had. He kind of kept his head down the way he answered the question. For the Eagles and especially Sirianni, I would say, can we just maybe wait for the victory lap? They were 10-1 last year, right? 7-2.
You say,
I'm just like, if you're gonna.
Now that's truly being. We are truly being.
No, and
right
he's not doing it. I'm like, but you said he could have. We said
no, he could have.
And he could, if they win tomorrow night, he could be like, I told you so. We're good.
Yeah, but the race isn't run. The race isn't won yet. That was not fair. I slowed it down. I did it right.
Like, don't be an I told you so, Douglas, until you delivered something.
Yeah,
special.
You got to deliver. You got to show us the baby. We don't want to hear about the labor pain. Show us the baby.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so we had the Sirianni mic'd up there. And you know what? Maybe he is playing to the cameras a lot, but isn't this every organization? There's cameras every coach's post-game locker room speech is
recorded.
Yeah. Like, that used to be a thing that felt like it was just between you and the coach.
Yeah.
And now it's for everyone. So I think half of them are performative anyway.
You know what's funny? You remember when, who was it, Juju Smith-Schuster, when they were in AB?
Oh, when they were
got
like
in trouble in Pittsburgh.
Live streaming.
Yeah, and they got in trouble for the same thing. Now we do it all the time.
Now they sent a person with a camera.
Yeah, they're sitting with somebody there to show it to the people.
That is funny. Well, it's amazing how quickly it's changed here. Well, we love the behind-the-scenes stuff, including this. All right, we got to rate this, because we know CJ GJ fancies himself an artist.
Like he's a rapper.
He's a rapper. Well, what do we think of this?
He got a song out.
He's got another one. Listen to this one. From the sideline Sunday, CJ GJ singing about Cooper DeJean, to Cooper DeJean. Here it was.
Cooper DeJean is cornerback one, yeah. He locked down your number one option.
What we talking?
Cooper DeJean, punt return. Cooper DeJean almost crippled the punt return. Cooper DeJean be locking down your slot. You throw it his way, no go.
That's terrible. That is terrible. But I like, you know what? I like that CJ GJ puts it out there like that. He doesn't care what anybody else thinks. But yeah, that was, I guess it was in the vein of Billie Jean, Cooper DeJean,
yeah,
Billie Jean.
Yeah.
Nah. Did you see the picture that him and Quinyon Mitchell put out? I put
is
it on
with
my
starter jacket?
Yes. That looked like the absolute hardest album cover. I don't know what kind of music they're singing. I don't know their genre.
Yeah.
But that does look like an album cover.
Do you know what I can't not think of? You posted it today. When I look at when Quinyon and Cooper, like when they do things like this or they're next to each other in the field, I can't not think of White Men Can't Jump.
Or Miami Vice.
Yeah, it's like, well, I think of Snipes and Woody Harrelson.
Or Ebony and Ivory.
Yeah, it's like they're this duo that you don't put together, but they're really good together.
Yeah, I mean, most people do, because like it was somebody said something about, you know, Ebony and Ivory, so they, you know, because I asked, you know, what would, if this was the album cover, what would the name be, and what would some of the songs' names be?
Yeah.
One of the best ones I heard as far as songs are concerned was like Clamps.
Like they're clamping people down.
I thought that was pretty. I thought that would go hard. I forgot some of the names. I saw some of the names, but I mean, it looks like the future. when you look at those two guys. Mm-hmm. They look like two guys that are young, that haven't figured it out yet. Well, they're figuring it out.
If this isn't figuring out yet, how good could they be? Because they're really good now.
It's one of those things. It's like, say, you know, you've been out there and, you know, you're young and you've been thrown a couple fights and you fared a lot better than people anticipated you to fare. And now you're getting into the part of the season where the teams are going to get better, where you want to see how you weather the storm. Because it's one thing to be good when there's no adversity.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So then you might have a little bit of adversity, then you bounce back from that. But how what happens if you really get tested? How are you going to respond to that?
Well, this is the best young combo we've seen around here since Lito and Sheldon. I mean,
there's no doubt.
We've got something now that's going to be here for a long time. All right, one more here, and then back to your phone calls. 215-592-9494. This is going to get you fired up. Landon Dickerson with kind of the team around him. I couldn't tell if it was the whole team or the offense from the video, but this is from the Eagles. I think it's – what's it called? Unscripted.
Unscripted.
I think it's the name of their, web series they put out there. It's on YouTube each week, you know, taking you inside the week and the game. We see a lot of Sirianni stuff in there. But here's Dickerson on the field getting his team pumped up before they beat the Cowboys.
We're going to punch him in the face today and show these motherfuckers what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're here to whoop the out of them. That's four more. 60 minutes of making a motherfucker quit and making them say, damn, I got to play him again. Let's go.
I didn't know Landon had that in him.
So potty mouth.
Wow.
If I had a pair of pearls on, I'd be clutching them right about now.
Did you know flabbergasted. That? Did you know Landon had that side of his personality?
No.
He seems pretty laid back.
No. I mean, it's great to see. I mean, it's great to hear, I should say. Wow, I'm out of breath listening to all that. Cussing and carrying on the way that he did.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
Does he give us an "Oh My Heavens"? Like,
yeah, you know, hey, God.
"Oh My Heavens" is up next.
Oh My Stars and Daughters.
Damn.
No, I tell you what, though, it got me charged, though, because I remember being in some huddles where it was some colorful language being thrown around.
Who is the colorful language guy?
I could think of some where Trot would say some stuff, man. And it was just, you know, you always talked about punching somebody in the face. Somebody was always getting punched in the face. It was some stuff that I see people say. I cannot repeat some of the stuff that was being said.
Well, please don't. We don't want to get.
Yeah, but it's very, very similar to what Landon was saying. It's just great to hear, man. It's so much stuff that goes on during the course of a game and before the game that, you know, you just can't share. Like, you can't understand it unless you've been in it.
Mm.
And to hear that, it's like, yeah, that brings back some memories.
You know what it does feel, and I didn't know when this was going to happen. It feels like this team, moving on from Jason and Fletcher, this new group has found its voice.
Yeah.
It feels like these young guys, they have found their voice. The team is fully now, in my mind, kind of turned over from the old guard.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It used to be Jason in those huddles. It used to be Fletcher in those huddles. And now we're hearing guys like Landon
Dickerson. And there's been a little bit. Like, this is the thing. And you talk about not being able to see everything. And sometimes you do and sometimes you miss some things. There's been growth as far as some of the older guys in the older regime. I think that, you know, it's funny. We haven't really said a whole lot about Big Play Slay in the last couple of weeks. And the things that I have heard about
I'm okay with that.
Well, it's always okay when you don't hear a corner's name being called. But I hear his name being mentioned in the light of mentor more so now than I have in the past. Or maybe it's one of those things where I'm starting to hear it or pay attention to it more. He's being more of a mentor. And you always hear those young guys talk about how Slay is mentoring them and helping them out tremendously. And he hasn't played bad either, man. Hasn't played bad.
He's been in and out, but he hasn't played bad.
Hasn't really said anything polarizing on social media lately.
Well, give him a...
I mean, but no, I'm just saying. I just want to give
lately.
His props, man.
Yeah, I mean, no, lately.
No,
he also did a podcast with Parsons a month
but
ago.
But no, I'm just saying. I got to give my man his props. Because, you know, it's a lot... You know, because a lot of times, you know, you hear about all the negatives that goes on. And for him to be... Like, to hear guys talk about him in the way that they talk about him, I just want to give him his props right there.
You know, we should start like a this many days since Slay said something to piss us off.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests.
Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.